Rosie.
Good morning. It's Sunday, February 14th.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit. We ask that your Spirit would move this morning, O Lord, that you would show us your truths, O Lord, that we would have ears for your truths, that they would come out of our mouth, that we would be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, or whatever, and that we would be able to express your truths, O Lord, wiser beyond anything that we have within ourselves. That you would move in that way. It's so sweet when you do. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that your blessing would be on our meeting today, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I have a setting of scripture that's been on my mind, and it's in the 15th chapter of Matthew. And it's a whole, there's a whole thought pattern. And, you know, the Bible is not actually written one verse at a time, separated somewhere. Even though that's what we've had a tendency to do, you know, we isolate verses and we put a lot of emphasis on what one verse says. And but the Bible is not done that way. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, it says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying," they came and here's what they said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" And here's their reason for asking. "For they don't wash their hands before they eat bread." That wasn't very good, was it, Chuck? They didn't eat their hands, wash their hands before they ate? "Then Jesus answered and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou might be profited by me, and they're saying, if we give a gift to the father or mother, these other things are immaterial." I mean, that's not exactly everything that he said. "And they honor not the father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you and say, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they do worship me, teaching for commandments, or for doctrine, the commandments of men." This has been an ongoing problem since the beginning of time. And he called, okay, so now here's the setting. You know, here's what he said to him. This is the setting, and the scribes and the Pharisees now are mixed in with the multitudes. They're in, they're part of, you know, whoever. It says, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand." Now, nothing, everything of this that we've just read is all sitting there in the middle of this conversation. And he said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Would you think this would create a problem? "Then came his disciples and said unto him, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" the Pharisees were offended. And then he answered and said something. And this, I've thought of this lots and lots of times. He said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't worry about them. Mm-hmm. Or would that kind of be like saying ignore them? Yeah. And so when people come up with doctrinal ideas and so forth that are not scripturally based, that's really not our problem. God will take care of it. And Peter said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. I mean, that's actually one setting. That's all one thing. Mm-hmm. So Jesus said to him, he said, you are of your father the devil. So if God didn't plant them, how'd they get planted? Where'd they come from? And so if teachers in a church insist on teaching traditions and not really getting the Holy Spirit understanding of the Word of God when they teach, God never planted them. That's the thing that we need to understand. And if God didn't plant them, woe to us that try to relate to them.
They've got some natural skills that work well in a natural setting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. When was it? Friday or something? I was on YouTube, and there's this guy, he's always given religious insight. You know, he'll want to say whether or not the person was right or wrong or whatever, mm-hmm. quoting. And this guy's fairly young. He's probably late 30s, 40s maybe. And I'd say he's black. So he was talking about this guy because the question was, is Jesus a man? And so he had some of the clips from the guy, the things the guy was saying, and it was funny because his first response was, well, in Matthew, Jesus, because the guy said Jesus couldn't, he had to be resurrected by his father. Well, and he says, well, in Matthew it says, well, look at these buildings, the disciples said, and he said, well, they'll be torn down and I'll raise them up. I could not find that in the New King James. But so anyway, this other guy, he's going, well, he said, I've been reading the word for 8 years at least. That's all I read. And I don't see it. It's not in there. The Trinity isn't there. He's not a God. And he said, and I know I have the Holy Spirit guiding. So, who was another black guy? So, because we had mentioned, you know, our little discussion, and so I went on that. So just for the heck of it, I was going to try to get it to come up on my phone so I could bring it here. And I went on YouTube thing, and I said this guy's name. Well, it wouldn't come up with his interview with, or his little thing about that guy. But all of a sudden, here was like six, seven, eight different people who were professing Jesus as a man. So I thought, well, I guess we're not alone at all, you know? I mean, you know? And a lot of them were black, which is interesting that they're open to that, you know, because sometimes they could be real traditional type doctrine people, you know. So I was really kind of excited about that, you know. And I didn't get time to, you know, really, I had to click and I saw it and I thought, okay, well then, of course I didn't probably click on one of them, so now I can't retrieve it. I'll have to punch it in again and ask the question or something, but it was pretty encouraging to see that there was a lot of people that were, I mean, right away it listed all the other people besides the one I was looking for that were saying Jesus is a man, so.
I think that Jesus is a man is much more accepted. Jesus is not transfigured into a god after the ascension. I think you end up having a lot more pushback.
Well, and the guy that he was talking, he's not God. I mean, that's the way.
Okay.
So he said it that way.
Yeah, okay.
Oh. He's a man. He's not God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he had to be resurrected. And it says that way more times. So that's that thing like it's saying here. They pick out one scripture. And the other one he gave was in Titus. Because it says, I should read it. Because... So it's like two scriptures. And, you know, when I was looking at that and I was looking at his reference, I was trying to go through Matthew and find it. And there's Jesus says it, but he never says he raised himself. He says, the Son of Man will be raised, or I will be raised, you know. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say he raised himself. But in there, I bet you in Matthew, I thought, you know, if I sat down sometime and wanted to go through the New Testament and just copy all the verses that refer to him as humanity and God is one God, I bet I would probably take me 3-4 days steady of 8 hours a day. Anyway, so the other one was Titus where it says our God and Savior type thing. And it's like, yeah, pick the one you want to have, you know. Pick the one scripture.
Yeah.
But what about all the other ones before and after, you know? Titus is not the easiest book to find.
It's a pretty small book.
Yes. So the first reference, which he didn't read, I don't believe. Grace, mercy, and peace. This is in 1:4, because there's only one. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I think the one he quoted was over in 13. Well, I guess there is more than one chapter. 2:13. Looking for the blessed and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what is "and" supposed to mean in this? I mean, I guess you can read it either way. God and Savior Jesus Christ. But how about God? To me, it's separating it and saying there's two people, God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then when you read "and" everywhere else, it clarifies that. And how many times, goodness, when I was going through Matthew and stuff, how many times is Jesus referring to the Father doing things? You're not?
Yeah. Right.
You know, how come it doesn't say, "And my God will do this"? Why does it say, "And I will do this if I'm God"? You know?
Let me say that in this Geneva Bible, it says, there in Titus 12:13, or 2:13 rather, of that mighty God and of our Savior, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
So it is definitely making
a separation there.
Yeah, right. I know.
Now, how do
the comment you just made, and then you look at all the references that Jesus said, "I can't do any of this."
Yeah.
and only that the Father gives me. So he clearly separates, and he clearly says, I have no God powers. The only powers I have are the powers that God gives me.
Right.
And
they don't do it. They're not in Scripture led by the Holy Spirit enough to ever put all that together to see that there. That's the tenor throughout. That Jesus, and then when Jesus talks about it, all the references to him coming back and everything else is all Son of Man.
Yeah.
Son of Man, when the Son of Man, you know.
A great deception, I think, that the enemy has perpetrated is that we, as in the natural, we race to know the answer, and then we work backwards from, well, we know that it's two, and then we look to make sure everything we see reinforces that it's two. And so someone says there's a Trinity, and then you spend the rest of your walk trying to make that true, because someone told you that you respect and said, you know, I've only been reading the Bible for 50 years, and I've been at it for 2 weeks, and the last thing I'm going to do is come in and tell them they read it wrong. And so, you know, I mean, it's just so easy to fall into that instead of, you know, you have to get enough to know that you're on your own, seek your own salvation, and don't believe anything tells you. Anyone tells you, believe what the book tells you.
The other issue he brought up was that, well, he had to be God because otherwise he couldn't have been it was like totally against everything we've seen for why he had to be a man. He just threw out there, well, he had to be God so that he could end up being the perfect sacrifice. And like, where is all the blood? And
yeah.
Oh, come on, you know? And it says he was perfected. He wasn't necessarily always perfect or whatever. He's tempted. God can't be tempted. I mean, there are so many issues now. And then when you go to baptism, would mean nothing. If he's a God, how can you, like we've said, you can't be baptized into deity. You know, how do you relate to that? You know, and God didn't die. He didn't go into the earth. He didn't do any of that. He wasn't dead for 3 days or whatever. You know, so, that's been such a blessing, the truth that the Holy Spirit has revealed about blood, redemption, and all of that with baptism, because it would mean nothing. We wouldn't have anything if we didn't see this. So, it's like most of the gospel is not even being presented correctly to most of the world yet.
Amen.
You know? It's amazing when you stop and think about it. So it's like, gosh, look at how much could happen if all of a sudden God starts releasing this. I mean, wow, you know?
The power of that promise.
Yeah.
As you were talking, I've shared before that one of the really impactful scriptures in the Old Testament, and I don't know where it is, keep like able to call it up, is where the Israelites are out there, and they're going to make a sacrifice or something to God. And God comes back and says, "Why do you think giving me something that I already gave you is impressive to me at all?" And they kind of like, never mind. But I was thinking of that when you made the comment about, you know, God never went to hell for 3 days. And I'm going, and why would God go to some place he created?
Right. He's everywhere anyway. Spirit.
Right. Why would he feel the need to do that? He made that. And so it's just, you know, if you think about it in the bigger scheme and you try and God's going to do this or God's going to do that, and you go, why would God do that?
Right.
He created it.
And I think that one of the biggest underlying keys that is totally missed is God is spirit. And when you get that concept, it wipes out all this manly other stuff, you know? And I was hoping this didn't take away from what Keith started with, but it's because it says doctrines of men. See, and that's what all of this is. It's based on that he was addressing is, you know, and what comes out of the mouth is worse than anything you can do.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
It's what the tongue speaks that's the most harm.
Yeah.
So it's
unruly member.
But I didn't. But I'd seen that, and it got me excited, and I just had to throw it in there quick.
Well, I think it's good because it highlights again how we tend to try and hijack God's agenda.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and he points it out. I mean, the way in Matthew 15 where he says, you know, you complain about this. He says, why do you minimize God's commandment? And I'm sure they went like, well, no, we're never doing that. You're like, yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you know, talking about you know what you were saying, I was looking for something and I found something better.
God's at work.
He says, "This is in John chapter 10, verse 17, or 16, no, 17. Therefore, does my Father love me?" Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Okay, he was talking about, you know, he resurrected himself. Well, listen, no man takes it away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I'm willingly given my life, I'm going to lay it down. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
There you go. Yeah.
You got
now,
it?
Now, if you didn't read that last part, mm-hmm. which they probably wouldn't, mm-hmm. well, see, it's saying he can take it back until you read.
But the Father gave me this power to do this.
Right.
I have power over heaven and earth. No, I was given power mm-hmm. over heaven and earth.
Yes.
Big difference.
Key word.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of difference.
Big difference.
How much power do we have? I have been given authority over heaven and over earth. Go ye therefore. So you have power, a delegated power, but only based on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when people start thinking that they got some kind of a supernatural power or whatever, you only got what God give you.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what's just so incredible that, and we never seen it either, but God, he's in control of everything.
Yes.
You know? And how do you wipe out what he says about himself, even though it's Old Testament? It's still God. God doesn't change. And so everything he said is still him. Mm-hmm. And he continually says, I'm one God and don't have any other gods beside me or above me. Or continually.
That's relevant.
And why would that change all of a sudden in the New Testament? You know? Why would God become something else?
There's a scripture that I cannot find. I've been looking and looking and looking there. Where Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know where it is. I can of my own self do nothing.
Yeah, it's probably in John.
Are you looking? Yeah. I know the revelation I got that Jesus was a man was when he died on the cross. Why would God die on the cross? He could.
Okay.
John 5:30.
Okay.
By myself I can do nothing.
Okay.
I was looking to see how many other translations had that last line in John 10:18. Most of them do. The New Contemporary English Verse translation kind of skirted around that and talked more about his power than God's power.
So that was John 10?
John 5:10.
5:10.
5:30. My bad, 5:30.
Oh, that's the one. I can say nothing of myself. What was the first one that Keith read?
Keith, the first one was John 10:18-17. 18, I found it. The last line that says, "This commandment I have received of my Father."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the translations that I didn't get through all of them, but most of them either say command or commandments I have received from my Father.
Mine says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me."
That's 5:30?
Yeah.
One of the things that, and I've heard this a lot over the years, and is a, they say that Jesus was fully God and fully man. I have never found the scripture that said that.
No. I think you got to look in the Nicene Creed.
Yeah,
you'll have some luck there.
Which, I don't know. I can't find that in my Bible here.
No. We must have a later translation.
I don't put the Nicene Creed in the Bible. That's interesting.
And then in John 5:19, it says, "Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise." See, he said it twice in that chapter. In verse 30 and...
Well, then it goes on there, too. "Whereas the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." But that's because,
what a promise that is.
It says the Son can give life. It doesn't say he raises the dead, though. Well, he can raise the
dead. And so, see, that's...
Of course, we can't do it.
I never realized that to this instant, but that goes along with verse 26, which I have you heard me quote a number of times. "As the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself." The Son didn't have life in himself. God gave him life in himself. You know what I'm saying? And so Jesus is saying, "I have nothing that I wasn't given."
And you know, I just read on to the next verse. Have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. You know?
I can feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can feel that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but if you read the Bible, it'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
Openly and without trying to figure it out.
Well, it just, I could feel it like it went down into my spirit.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah,
you know, when that guy said, that was the key for me, when he said, "Well, I have the Holy Spirit." And it was like, and that's who's been showing me. I mean, that's what he was saying. He didn't come right out and say that, because he was in the Word continually, and only the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I don't know how he felt on everything or anything like that, but it'd be interesting to hear him more. And he was sitting, it was kind of funny, because he was in like shorts and a t-shirt, you know, I mean, just sitting there really relaxed. It wasn't like he was standing at a pulpit and, you know, with a suit and tie or anything. He was talking. This is what I've discovered.
Because a suit and tie would impress men, not God.
Yeah.
But that verse that you mentioned in 27.
Yeah.
that is impacting. He has given him authority
to church.
It doesn't say because he is a son of God.
No.
Because he is a son of man. He has given authority to a man. You know what I'm saying? He gave authority to a man.
And so
Jesus says, the son, this man, can do nothing of himself.
What's impacting me about that, 27, is that he hath given him authority to execute judgment. And he gave it to Jesus. And Jesus is the way to eternal life.
Yeah.
And God has given Jesus the authority for judgment. And Jesus is the one that provides you the path to eternal life. And so you go, well, why? How does this man get this? And how does he decide eternal life? You go, well, right here. Because he was given authority from God.
Plus he paid the price.
And,
well, in verse 22 it reads, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son.
What he decided.
You know, and it repeats
that. That's how it was going to happen.
Yeah, and you keep reading in that same chapter, he repeats it again in 30. I cannot myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You know, that Son of Man, I just love how that's, because that had me bothered for so long, because I would see it in the Old Testament when I was reading in the prophets. And guy would say, Son of Man, prophesy. And I went, Son of Man. And so and then when you see it now, it's like, it's the Anointed One, whoever it may be. It's the Son of Man coming from heaven, basically, because it's an anointing that separates the man from the normal man. You know, it makes
glory.
It makes it a spiritual man because God's granting it. Mm-hmm. And that is a man from heaven, really. And when God does that with you or me, that's what you are. You know, mm-hmm. And he will and has. And he'll do it more. A lot more in these coming days, I think. But
it's hard to think of yourself as a prophet and try and remain humble unless you remind yourself that I'm not a prophet until God gives me something to say.
Right.
And that, and only that, makes me a prophet.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
And that's the issue.
That's where it's at.
Well, here's this guy who's gotten some anointing, and he's sitting there in his t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops, and you're going, this dude can't do anything. Come on. Immediately your brain goes to, where's that tie? You know.
Of course, the guy doing the interview, he doesn't wear it. He's in common clothes, too. But anyway, but I just thought, gosh, I don't ever want to be in that place where I'm sitting there thinking that I can answer every question that gets presented. You know, about somebody or some doctrine or anything in the Bible. I mean, yeah. First of all, he should be pointing everyone to the Bible to find out for themselves, which they don't realize that God can teach every person. You know, they don't have to go to seminary or anything else. God will show truth to anybody that wants it, that has an open heart to seek it.
I think one of the most powerful things that I can hear when I'm in a setting with believers, I have someone say, I don't know, God hasn't revealed that yet. I mean, when my ear hears that, I pay attention, because now the person who's responding to me is saying, it's not what I know, it's what God lets me know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I want to hear from.
Yeah.
And it's just not what you hear when you go anywhere else.
Mm.
Oh, I'll tell you, all of this.
I studied this.
I just got out of a 30-week Bible study on this. I got it down. And you go, what do you got exactly? Tell me again.
Well, I think another part of this, you know, a couple things come to mind, is that Jesus said the Comforter, comma, the Spirit of Truth, will teach you all things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we embrace that and also understand that we have to have a love for the truth. And I think that if we have a love to think we have the truth, that's this category. But if you have a love for the truth, I think we're quick to lay down whatever the Spirit reveals. We're quick to lay it down. It's like, even though I've been carrying this for a long time and I've been right, as soon as I realize, oh, I'm the Spirit of truth is revealing something, especially if you're just going to this source. If this is your source and you love the truth, I think it's just not a problem to just swap what I always thought I knew for, oh, this is what he's revealing. And I think that's part of that recipe for, you know, here a little, there a little. I think that's how we gain this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's having that love for the truth is what keeps us plugged into the humility channel of, oh, here's something that is being revealed to me, and it bears witness with our spirit. And, you know, I think a lot of people can say it bears witness with the spirit. But when we're plugged into that humility, when you have, I don't know what it is, that hasn't been revealed to me yet, I don't know, and I'm okay that I don't know, I think that's a vessel that he will pour himself into, because he's not going to pour himself into a vessel that has, you know, mixed lots of stuff in it already.
Already filled.
Yeah, already filled.
I would hope to be joyfully abandoning what I'd always believed when I go.
With great dispatch.
Right.
You mean this is wrong?
Yeah. Oh, good.
It's funny, you know, the longer we'd all agree, the longer we've been listening as we have, they get easier and easier to do that. Probably wasn't as easy right at first.
Sure.
But now it's like, you've learned that, yeah, if I just give it up and I get the truth then from God, wow, you know, why would I want to entertain my own thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
Well, something that I have been more cautious of is a few years ago, I knew a lot more. you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
The giggles are implying. Whereas today, when I hear someone who's really adamant, that's where my antenna goes up. I'm suspect and a little bit more cautious, but also with myself as well. I feel like I've just been, you know, we know what we've heard, and we know that scripture. We know what we've heard, and some of those, it's not negotiable. But some of this over here, until I've heard it, and when I know that I want the truth more than I want to be right, when I've got that, it makes it easier to say,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure about that. I don't, but I also know, and I think we're all convinced of this, that revelation doesn't come here. It comes here and here. And it comes here, and, you know, where two or three are gathered together. And I think sharing that, that's where it comes from. But if I hear it here, but not from here, I don't think that's how he's revealing to us. What a blessing, though, when you do hear something, and it just bears witness. And when you are listening, and I think that's what I have noticed with some. When you okay? When you your main sources are outside sources, that's when you know I listen with half an ear, just because. Already, you know, we've already done that. We've been there and we've done that. And it's like, oh, no. That leads down just a whole other path of unnecessary travel.
Yeah.
And you could be
exactly.
listening. And he will reveal. to us. If that's what we're seeking.
Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. And then it also says, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained.
Amen. That's good.
Does it bring us straight?
And that's hard enough. Because even with what we obtained, we fall short. So it's like,
you know, and like we stress that you have to hear it from the Holy Spirit, right? But what's been amazing is I come because I don't get it all from the Holy Spirit. Some of it comes to you and you, and when you and you sharing it, yeah, that's not me reading. But when you share it, and if it's a truth, and I go here, it's confirmed.
Yes, it'll draw.
And then I know it was coming from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's exciting because one person, is, like we've said, God's not going to give one person all of it. Mm-hmm. It's just
and I
not
think someday our spirits are going to be so in tune.
Well, and it says that you would become like-minded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the goal, that you all become thinking
in
this.
In tune with each other because we have the truth.
Because the Holy Spirit reveals this truth to everyone the same, if it's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
Yes.
And I think we're well on our way. Well on our way to that point where we are like-minded.
Mm-hmm. 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 And I think we're well on our way to being able to discern something that's not quite lining up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we detect it quicker because there's more of us in tune going, no, that doesn't quite sound right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the plumb line is being identified.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
It's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the cornerstone is being realigned.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to take away your title of work pictures away.
I love word pictures. Yeah, I think we're on our way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
I think that day when we will be with Him and aligned with Him perfectly.
Am I? Yes. Mm-hmm. The day that will be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Have no fear. Mm-hmm. Even through what's going to come and what will be.
Mm. Mm-hmm. There is a line in the hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, that I like. It says, when my trophies at last I will lay down, or my trophies at last I lay down. You know? Ah, lay those things down.
You know what, Charlie? I have sang that song how many times, and I have never just heard that line. True story.
Isn't that amazing? That's what's
easier,
amazing. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Getting easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet we've said it hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. How come when I read that, I never saw this word mm-hmm. or these two words at the end or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you read the whole verse all the time and it never impacted yours. That's a glorious thing about it. It's just
the infamous line. Yeah, I was reading the Bible and found this new scripture was in there today.
Yeah,
it is now new today.
Who changed my Bible?
He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Mm. You know, it just never goes out of season.
Yeah.
And He is glorious.
living word. You know, the living word, living, breathing.
And it can die so fast if man's mind gets in it.
Mm-hmm.
It immediately kills the living word, you know.
Well, you know, back to those daily bread. And, you know, things that we heard and we just don't realize how life-sustaining they actually are. You know, that the daily bread.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, and I don't make light of this because it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see the Bible in a Year plan, and think that's great, but it's actually intended to be our daily bread, and so that it's alive. But I also understand that until that's an expectation, and it isn't most places.
No.
It's not that it's your daily bread. It's something you throw in your bag as you're living life. You know, add a couple drops to as you live your life instead of actually the life sustaining. And then pick up my cross, or pick up your cross and follow me. Wow, that's more than adding it to your daily life. I just think that it's becoming more of a reality and more of a desire. And the things of earth grow strangely dim. You'd say, oh, yeah, that's making a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's just making a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'm just thinking again of that. The scripture that Keith opened with, the scriptures. And, you know, that thought pattern in those scribes and everything, it's like, well, we come up with what we, this should make us better because we're, you know, we're trying to enhance what, you know. And, you know, when Jesus came, guess what? The devil didn't quit preaching that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been preaching it. I mean, and I'm sorry to say it, but it, that's the whole basis just about for Roman Catholicism is all man. I mean, it's so much. I mean, and so many of the others, all of them. The minute you're thinking you need to do something to make yourself better, which is most religions, actually,
mm-hmm.
and that can be Buddhism and any of them. I mean, it can be Lutheranism, any of them, you know. Yeah, if I just crawl up the steps instead of walk, I'm more worthy, you know, or something. All of that is just that same thing, spirit of the enemy that was in the scribes and Pharisees at that time and before that time. Well, it's what happened with Seth and Abel. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
Well, I can work and do this better, you know.
Yeah. Cain and Abel.
Mm. Or, I'm sorry, Cain and Abel. Yeah.
A lot of the doctrines, I don't know if this is the way to put it, but they're doctrines of convenience rather than the truth. It's like the Trinity or some of the doctrines way back at the time of Constantine. Constantine was in danger of having a divided kingdom.
Sure.
And so it had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. He just decided that this is what we're going to do. We need a doctrine that unites Christians and pagans. You know what I mean? So and so they come up with
It was a lot more compatible with Roman mythology or whatever to have multiple gods.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then right away, what did that do? It made the biggest stumbling block to every Jew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And every
as well as my
Muslim or
right.
You know, right away they just turned you off. You're a heathen. You're a whatever. You know.
Yeah, you're a
infidel. Or you're a
polytheist.
Yeah. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had enough of the Holy Spirit then for one day,
Keith? Probably not.
No, I.
One thing it says.
I lifted this up because my legs were falling asleep.
What's that?
I do not accept glory from human beings.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let me just throw in that one big reason for accepting the Trinity is that you get called a heretic if you don't.
You know? Heretic.
Right. Who wants to be a heretic?
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's interesting because they say a heretic of the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a heretic of God necessarily. Right, right. It's a heretic of our doctrines.
It's a true statement.
Yeah,
right, right.
Well, and it's been, you know, I mean, the Jews are definitely afraid of being thrust out of the synagogue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Their
biggest fear.
A lot of the choices they made were whether or not the Jewish leaders were going to accept where they were at.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just cannot, being a Jew and being shunned, you know, just like, couldn't do it.
And it makes a lot more sense to me now. I can remember when Mike Marwa was witnessing to a Jewish fella. But he was trying to emphasize that there wasn't a Trinity. And I don't know, maybe at the first. But that was the whole thing. I mean, one of the things with them is they just, no, my family and everything will disown me if I accept this.
Yeah.
Three in one God, you know?
Me, yeah.
Yeah. Now there's a lot better chance if I'm saying, oh, there was just a Savior that God provided for us. Well, to say that they have to understand there was a Messiah,
right.
And they haven't, they just need to see that there was already a Messiah,
right.
You know.
Right.
That's a to me, that's a less stumbler than three in one, you know.
Right.
We had nowhere to say.
So much of the church is kind of waiting for everybody to come to the point that they're at.
Yes. So did you all figure out what I know, you'll be good.
Yeah, come back to the Catholic Church.
And isn't that how people pick churches?
Yeah.
You know, if you were really anointed, you'd go out and look for the church that isn't speaking what you think, because then you'd be challenged to say, well, wait a minute, what do they know that I don't? Versus, oh yeah, they're saying exactly what I know. And you go, well, how is that an unfolding revelation?
Yeah.
And that's why people go from church to church.
Yeah.
To church.
They're just trying to feel comfortable.
To trying to find what they believe.
The only man you need to follow is the man Jesus.
Yeah, that's a good way to say that.
Yeah. That's the only man to follow. Yeah.
Right. It's the only man to follow.
And the other thing is, you know, I remember the good old days.
Yeah.
We need to go back to the good old days. We don't want the good old days.
Old time religion.
I've been trying to challenge that in my thoughts because I've been thinking, well, I want to have again what I, you know? Well, you got to stop yourself there. I want to have God like He's never been before, but I can't relate. I can't compare that to what's happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
You got to just try to really stay open to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, no. Sooner or later, He'll do it where we're all dancing in the Spirit and we're all falling down and out of that. No, you don't know that. That's what He's going to do next time. You know.
Mm-hmm.
What's behind is behind.
Yeah.
What's forward is forward.
And it's hard because it's easy to catch. I catch myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're thinking in your own ability and you can't see.
Your own
so,
experience. Sure.
Yeah, and you just got to say, I can't think that way. I guess stay open to what God's doing, you know, and wait and see, you know.
The Bible says that God chooses foolish things to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm.
And what we went through years ago was a lot of foolishness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the Holy Spirit was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And God chooses these things. And all what He wants to do is to get you to let your defenses down. And so you can let Him do what He wants to do.
I think that's right.
Yeah. And it isn't that everything that we did was right.
No.
And the devil also will get his foot in it if he can. And he kind of twists it, you know, a little bit. But if you brace yourself to stop the devil in things like that, you also take the chance of stopping God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful and keep resisting the devil and whatever else. But God has to be God. We had things happen that were not, you know, that they could have been labeled as demonic, but they weren't. And I remember, you know, we used to have people falling in the spirit. Well, I don't know that any of them in the early days, before Alberta showed up and you know, those times, I don't know that anybody ever just fell without the Holy Spirit caused them to fall.
Yeah, there were no catchers or anything.
No. Catchers kind of substitute for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
shows a lack of faith.
I saw things that were really scary. And I saw Merle Marl fall and hit his forehead right on the corner of the piano and just crumpled to the floor. And it didn't even affect me. And I thought about it later. I thought, why didn't I panic? You know? I fell and, you know, hit the back of my head against one of the pews, and Dale was scared half to death. He was standing there. I never even felt it.
Practice for later years, it was.
Okay.
But anyway, we had a lot of things like that. One night, there was about 50 or 60 of us in the back of the church, and I had my coat on. I think everybody had their coat on. And it was like there was a wind that came in from somewhere. The next thing I knew, everybody was laying on the floor. You know, and it took, I think we laid there for 45 minutes before people got up. I can remember that. There was, and
I remember falling on the floor and not remembering as a waking up on the floor and wondering how I got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff Burton laid in front of the pulpit for
full service.
You remember that?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something Jeff would do, you know. Mm-hmm. And Dale was up preaching, and all of a sudden Jeff shut up and everybody starts laughing, you know. Well, it was funny. Jeff didn't think so, but, you know. We saw that. I was telling somebody the other day, Danny LeQuay was up in the front, and he did this weird little dance. He had his eyes shut, and he was looking up, and he had his hands raised kind of like this, and it took him at least an hour to get from the near the pulpit back to where the sound equipment is. And you couldn't see, you ever see Jim Godwin in the Carol Burnett shows and how slow he walks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Danny LeQuay was walking even slower. It took him all that time, and we were sitting there and we're wondering, what is this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him someday.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? What was going on?
Okay.
But that's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Things that God chose, and you know what? It had an impact on everybody that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And people still relate to those things, and who knows what was going on? And people have asked, you know, I've been asked a number of times, you know, why didn't you stop those things? And I have an answer for that. I was never taught on how to quench the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good doctrine.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
When would you want to quench the spirit?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my answer. Why didn't you stop it?
People are looking in the flesh instead of in the spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you, I know pastors that have no problem stopping that.
They're free.
It's a bad thing when you're in competition with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, when the ark left, was it the Philistines that had it? and it was pulled by a, was it just one cow?
They
had to leave their calf.
Team, I think two.
Or two.
I think two, wasn't it? A team?
I think it might have been a team.
And what do they call that?
Yoke oxen?
No, the calf was nursing.
Weaning?
And they don't leave, a cow won't leave them, you know. Or oxen or whatever it was, she left this calf bawling and crying for milk and kept on going. This was the sign that God was causing, you follow me? Causing this animal to pull that ark.
Uh-huh.
And the thing kind of lumbered along, and, you know, and at any minute it's going to tip over, so somebody, I don't know who it was.
I think the man's name was Uzzah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Decides that he's going
to
stabilize the ark. He did.
He was no more.
He became a permanent fixture.
You know.
That's sobering, isn't it?
Huh?
That's sobering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, going on the foolishness, you know, God causes the fool. I won't say it absolutely, but I think he's actually put scripture in the Bible that does that.
Yeah, I do too. I think you're great.
You know, that if you want to dwell on it, it's just going to mess you up. Because you're trying to be wise.
I
you
do
know?
Too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sometimes think of, in history, Jesus comes on the scene. Who does he hang out with?
Yeah.
That must have just blew everybody's mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And who he not aligned with, but who he was there to be a savior. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for those who needed a savior. And doesn't that blow my mind that you think that it would be someone that would align with the spiritual leaders of the day and somehow, and they knew that it would come up from within their ranks, and here it just didn't look anything like it, so much so that they didn't know that the Messiah was there.
Yeah.
Because they had this other idea. And here he is, you know, just thinking about all those scriptures that say, and a new thing I will do. We're not looking at the past. It's going to be a new thing. Stop trying to resurrect, you know, the dead horse. But a new thing he's going to do. And I doubt it's going to look a lot like yesteryear, you know, in
mm-hmm.
the elements, yeah. But look at when his ministry, it just had to have been so astonishing. You think of Nicodemus, who was one of the brave ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of stuck his neck out there and said, yeah, but, and no one else was going to, and even the parents of the blind son, who
didn't want to get,
we know this is our son. We
yeah.
know he was blind, but you know how this happened. Like, we don't want to be kicked out.
You talk to him.
Yes, yes. Right. And you would think if anyone would want to say, praise the Lord. Praise
yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah.
But the fear that can instill, and here Jesus comes on the scene, and who he hangs out with, where he goes, the things he says to them. You whitewash sepulchres, like this is not how to make friends. But that's not what he was there to do.
Right.
You know, it was different than what we all expected. You know,
right.
And here,
I love that about him.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes.
He probably had two changes of robe.
Yeah.
And probably only one pair of pants.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then I just, what amazes me is in Isaiah, where it gives his description of his looks. Uncomely. No one, you wouldn't even want to look at him. Now, that's, if in language, that's pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was ugly, supposedly. You know, but they don't picture. Of course, you don't ever picture anything like that because, oh my gosh,
and
you know,
so beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And see that, but to those that didn't have those, they were just attracted. Well, why? Well, because yeah. of the Holy Spirit coming out of them.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you be? You know, in that sense, I'll tell you what that. Like we talk about the moon and different things, but there was a period there when God's love was so strong that I totally, and I was terrible, and probably still am a little, I had certain ways of looking at people, you know, who I kind of would be attracted to and who I wouldn't. That went totally out the window. I mean, I just look at somebody and I just thought, oh, I just love them. And it didn't matter what they looked like or who they were or how much money or how they were, you know, you just loved them. Now that's Jesus, you know. And that part I would love to have back again. You know, that kind of love. That would be great. That would be wonderful.
It'll come.
I think it will too, because I think that was only a taste. That was a sampling, and we didn't handle it exactly right. And so he's kind of said, well, they had to set you back a ways and get a foundation built under you, into you, you know.
You need this so you can do this.
So that when you have that, you don't misuse it and you don't think, you know, whatever.
And it'll be in my spirit, not yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No angel of light this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things to come.
All of this, too, that is, it's raising us to have a discernment to see that angel of light, you know, to see those false ministers, you know, that it speaks of in 2 Corinthians 11 or whatever.
The Holy Spirit's going to allow us not to be deceived like we were in the past.
Yeah.
If
we stay true. Stay true to the truth. Glory.
We'll probably still make mistakes, but we'll recognize them sooner. Hopefully.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And probably be helping each other in that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And open to the help.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
That's
be
right.
Open to, yeah.
You know, back to that verse, and I know I've mentioned it many times through the years, but Psalm 119:31, I think. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When we love his law
more than anything else,
and
nothing
is true. More than anything else, I think it will be easy to love each other in that way, knowing that that's what we want. There's nothing
in it. Yeah, and there's somewhere where, and it says too, in love bring the truth, you know.
Yeah, bring the truth in love.
Bringing the truth in love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a big thing, because you have, if you don't bring it right, then you create all kinds of, either, you know.
You can make a mess of things.
Defensiveness or resistance.
And the people out there that may not be Christians will feel that pure love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it'll be pure.
And they'll be drawn to it.
Yeah.
That's why I think a lot of them got, Jesus had that coming from him so much that he could say, follow me. And they did. You know?
They knew he loved them.
Because they were drawn by that, presence of God.
When deliverance broke out on March 15th, 1982, up to that time we were having a lot of prayer meetings. And there was a relationship developing between people that was phenomenal. And that night that it broke out, Joanna and I were praying for Dan and Lynn Holm. And we just, you know, I can remember the feelings that we had towards them, you know. And so when I was asked to go and pray with Vicki, I wasn't really even anxious to go. You know, because we were having such a good fellowship, but it loved, you know.
Yeah. I was thinking earlier when we were sharing, the toughest thing that we'll have in the natural to overcome is to not be fooled by what feels good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if it feels good, you're drawn toward it. And you have to make sure that what it is you're feeling is spiritual, not natural. And that, I mean, and you could, people end up worshiping certain ways because it feels good to them. It might not be the most spiritual way, or the way where the Holy Spirit can work, but, you know, when something feels good to you, you tend to stay in it longer.
I love it.
Yeah. And so it's hard to stay spiritually minded.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, every time we were about to, somebody come up with something. It's been pretty exciting at the end here.
Yes. Glory.
Love you all.
Yes.